And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. Just turned 5 minutes past nine on this wet, miserable Thursday, the 19th of October, 2023. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're well and safe and as happy as you can be. And on board for the next 3 hours here on the 9 till noon show, some really interesting guests. Pat McCart will be joining us later on to discuss his new memoirs that are out. Pat McCart, very well known, of course, and a very regular guest on this show and its predecessor. So looking forward to a good chat with Pat. Mark McSharry is going to come on and we'll tease out why he decided to quit politics. He's not standing in the next election. And there's so much more besides, all on top of that. So please stay tuned with us, 086 60 25000. Get involved in that conversation, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000, and emails to comments at highlandradio.com. And if you want to watch the show and the majority of our guests, hop on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, on your smart TV, your Fire Stick, or across your mobile devices. We're on Facebook as well, of course, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport. Right, so no excuses today. Radio, not going to become a regular feature at the start of the show, by the way, but obviously day two of the lights around around Letterkenny since they were switching on at Polestar. If you're coming up the mountaintop and you're sitting in that traffic, it's not changed. I know it's a nightmare. And if you're outside Letterkenny, you're wondering what's Jan about. But if you travel like the many tens of thousands that do through the Polestar roundabout, I'm just saying, and in fairness, I thought it only fair to say that things seem to be moving a little bit more smoothly today. Now, I don't know if people are delaying their journeys, there's less cars on the road, or they're using alternative routes. But from my experience, people tend not to do that into the long term. This morning seems to be moving better because they're being calibrated and adjusted as we go. Is that your experience? Let us know. 086 60 25000. OK, the Tyrconnell Tribune this morning. There was a tense standoff in a Fianna Fáil meeting on Monday night in Kerrykeel, we're told, when Minister Charlie McConnellogue was asked what progress he had made on a promise to organise a meeting with the Health Minister to discuss the serious funding deficit at Letterkenny University Hospital. McConnellogue was in a party meeting in the village when Dr. Padraig McGuinness, who was a guest on this show the start of last week and really got the ball rolling on this medics highlighting the LUH situation, when Dr. Paddy McGuinness, or Padraig McGuinness, I beg your pardon, from the Fannett Health Centre, dropped in to ask the Minister what progress had been made on his promise last Thursday to get Minister Donnelly to visit LUH. McConnellogue denied he made a promise. And as the party members watched on, we were told there was silence as the scene was set for what was described as a fraught conversation with the Minister, who was put under a lot of pressure to deliver. McGuinness said he was merely wanting a response from Minister McConnellogue about when the Health Minister was going to come to LUH, and he stated that McConnellogue had made the promise and he wanted to make that very clear, otherwise he would not have any reason to seek answers from the Minister. McConnellogue was told by Dr. McGuinness that a conference call on Zoom or having the meeting in Dublin was not going to suffice, and he said that the Minister for Health would have to visit LUH and see the problems firsthand. Numbers of those at the meeting said the exchanges were robust and tense, with both parties taking opposite views and no ground was given. There were sharp exchanges and big differences of views. We are not used to these debates at our meetings in Kerrykeel, added one of our sources who was present. On Tuesday, the GP's group confirmed that they had secured a meeting with Minister Donnelly. However, the terms and locations are to be confirmed. The doctors want the Minister to travel to Donegal and to meet them here. We heard from people close to the Minister yesterday that he is looking to meet them next week, but he wants to meet them remotely or down in Dublin. I understand there was a meeting last night amongst GPs, and they are demanding that that meeting be held in Donegal and are awaiting a response from the Minister in that regard. So on it goes. Interesting that according to the paper, that because I heard Charlie McConnellogue speaking to the newsroom here, I got the impression that a meeting had been committed to, as well as a visit to Letterkenny University Hospital. Okay. The Donegal news this morning, a Letterkenny councillor has said the major traffic delays being experienced in and around parts of the town this week have been caused by motorists attempting to avoid the new traffic light system on the Polestar roundabout. It's your fault, guys. It's not the traffic lights. Long tailbacks were reported on different routes around the town, even off peak times, since the lights were switched on at the Polestar roundabout on Tuesday afternoon. There was much frustration as motorists found themselves caught in long delays, and many people have taken to social media to vent their anger at the changes. But Councillor Donald Coyle says that the problems this week in parts of the town have been caused by motorists attempting to avoid the new traffic light system on the Polestar roundabout. Excuse me. On to the Derry news. Concern raised over Israeli flags erected in Waterside. Concerns have been raised about the proliferation of Israeli flags in the Waterside area amid allegations Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. The flags were allegedly raised on Tuesday night, the same day nearly 500 Palestinians were killed in a strike on a hospital. Catherine Hutton of Derry Island Palestine Solidarity Campaign said a member of the public contacted the group about the flags. A member of the public contacted us concerned about the proliferation of Israeli flags, particularly on Glendermot Road, but they are displayed quite frequently in the Waterside area and in loyalist areas, she said. On to the Nationals now, and we'll start with the Irish Independent. And coalition ministers are privately furious at HSE Chief Executive Bernard Gloucester over his criticism of the health service budget and his briefing of opposition TDs. Mr. Gloucester comments last Sunday that next year's health budget is not adequate for all current costs, has angered ministers who believe he should not be using the media to lobby for more money. The HSE approach isn't helping, a senior coalition source said. One senior minister said Mr. Gloucester's comments on RTE at the weekend had been extraordinarily unhelpful, while a second senior minister said it's like Tony O'Brien is back in town except more overt, a reference to the former HSE Director General who had a strained relationship with former Health Minister Simon Harris. But why do they want to shut people up that are working in the health service? I don't understand why that is. Surely that's democracy, isn't it? We live in a democracy, an open democracy, where people express views and have feelings and can say what they want to say. Why are we trying to gag consultants? Why are we trying to gag the head of the HSE, the head of the health service? Who's trying to do that? Is that really the country we want to live in, where people working in certain areas of society are literally not allowed to speak publicly to the media? And then they talk about funding the importance of public funding public service broadcasting, but on one hand, and then on the other hand, trying to stop people from engaging with that. Is that truly democracy? I don't know. It doesn't feel like a full open democracy to me. If you're from Cork or the South and affected by flooding, you might feel you've been somewhat forgotten, because you have to go quite deep into some of the papers to get the information. Cork has been left counting the cost of Storm Babbitt, as heavy rainfall caused millions of euros worth of damage, with homes and businesses flooded and roads and bridges washed away as rivers burst their banks. Five counties in the south and southeast coasts were subject to orange rain warnings yesterday as Storm Babbitt swept over the country. And we're in another situation whereby, you know, sometimes things should be red and they're not, and sometimes things should have no warning at all and they're yellow. Well, East Cork bore the brunt of the storm, with the centre of Middleton town flooded to a depth of over a metre. Cork County Council confirmed that more than 100 premises, residential and commercial, were damaged when local watercourses burst their banks. Well, Met Éireann has responded to this, and it's admitted it may be issuing too many weather warnings and is looking at raising the threshold for doing so. Well, we did see quite a bit of that. It's easy to be critical of Met Éireann. They are, to some extent, damned if they do and damned if they don't. But when we're getting temperature warnings and wind warnings, and we know ourselves it's only a breeze, and then we get an awful bit of weather and there's no warning at all, you know, it's like the boy who cried wolf. Better not to have anything almost than to have ones that you can't trust. Well, the forecaster currently puts status yellow, orange and red warnings in place depending on the severity of expected weather. Owen Sherlock, Met Éireann's chief forecaster, said the threshold for weather warnings are renewed every 30 years. Also, especially with climate change, he admitted there are now too many yellow warnings and that it was working on a way to minimise them. And how do you do that? Well, how do you do that? You increase the threshold. So instead of wind being 50 and that promoting a warning, you have it at 55 kilometres per hour. You know, that sort of a way. I'm finding some. I've suggested this would be a good idea before. Am I politically aligning myself now with Michael Healy-Ray? Secondary students should leave school with their leaving certificate in one hand and a full driver's licence in the other. That's according to independent TD Michael Healy-Ray. I really believe there should be a great emphasis on learning to drive in school. I'm not quite sure if they should come out with the actual test in their hand, but be that as it may, the Rural Independent Group, of which the outspoken Kerry TD is a member, have tabled a motion demanding a reduction in waiting lists for driving tests. They've suggested adding motoring to the second level syllabus as a possible solution. Would you be in favour of that? Would you like to see driving as part of the secondary or a part of the syllabus? I think I would. And also, too, there was some suggestion that by way of speeding things up at the moment, that if you've sat your 12 lessons, that you should be allowed to drive. What do you think about that? I don't know. That's probably not a great idea either. But anyway, some suggestion along those lines. Angus Bull to soar in new beef rankings. That's the Irish Farmers Journal. Traditional beef breeds are set to rocket up the rankings at the expense of continental breeds in the first major revision of the ICBF's beef replacement and terminal indexes since 2016. On to the Daily Star. Tánaiste Micheál Martin says he's been told the National Children's Hospital could be open in late 2024. My view is the hospital is very well advanced, he said. We want it completed as quickly as possible and in the best manner possible in terms of commissioning of equipment and so on. October next year is a date that's been touted there. The Sun tells us that a jury should focus on when a woman told an Irish celebrity accused of defilement her true age, his barrister told a court yesterday. The man, 40, has pleaded not guilty to three counts of engagement in sexual acts with a child under the age of 17 at locations in Dublin on dates between August and December 2010. The jury are going to begin their deliberations this morning. And the most common crime people were jailed for last year was theft, a report revealed. According to the Irish Prison Service figures, 4,855 people were sentenced in 2022. Theft and related offences was the reason more than 18% of those were put behind bars and was the most common crime. The second most common crime was attempt or threats of murder, assaults and harassment. That resulted in 653 people being locked up. I'll go through those in a little more detail a little later on because they are quite interesting. Right, Joanne joins us on the programme now. Hi, Joanne.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Thanks for joining us. Right, what's your experience been of garages? Because you kind of want to throw it out there and see, is it just for you or is this the public's general experience?
Yeah, I do want to throw it out there, specifically around the transparency of garage quotes for car repairs. So recently I had an experience with a garage. I booked my car in for an oil change and filter. And when I booked the appointment, I was also advised it would be a health check. Yeah. And the total cost would be €179. So I left the car in and also then advised them that I did have a problem with the clutch and to look at that. So about 3 hours later, I did receive a text from them, and I'd like to quote the text because this is where I think the transparency issue is. So in the text, they said, "We have completed a check of your car and we found some items that need your approval. Please view and approve the work required." I then entered a password, which was my car reg number, mm-hmm. and I was given a list of different suggested repairs and the cost, just a total cost, and given an option of approving it, declining it, or postponing it. So initially, the cost was $179. The clutch cost was $1,470. And then with the suggested, the other repairs, the whole cost would have came to €3,000. There was no breakdown of what the part costs would be, what the VAT was, or what the cost of labour would be, and how many hours the labour was going to be.
Can I run through this list? Because there's quite a lot here. Because you went in just for a... Yeah. Front disc and pads, they said there is, 5,000 to 7,000 kilometres remaining, €360. Front wishbone rear bushings, €370. Front wipers, 42-year-old, now you say you changed the wipers 3 months ago. A timing belt and water pump, they generally are changed at the same time. Every 5 years or 210,000 kilometres, €649. Now, you had that changed already 2 years ago. The clutch kit, as you mentioned, €1,470. But you got another quote, as you mentioned there, for €821. Yeah. So you believe that, I don't know, that they were just throwing figures out?
I honestly would love a guy just to explain it. Mm. You know, the suggestion in the text was that please approve the work required. And if you look at the front discs and pads, that is not required currently. They say themselves 5,000 to 7,000 kilometres remaining. Mm. So that's dependent on, I could have another 6 months if I only drive 100 kilometres a week. So it's not, the whole thing is when I go into a garage, I am leaving it, they're the experts. I want to drive a car that's safe and that it's not a danger to me or anybody else on the road. Mm-hmm. So I have to be cognizant that if they're giving me advice, I'm almost thinking, geez, I really need this. But when I actually look into it and query it, and I did query about the timing belt with them, and then I was said, well, that's advisory only. But nowhere does it say that any of this is advisory. So I think that garages, I would love to hear why they don't do a breakdown of costs, why they don't suggest, tell you that something is either urgent, it's essential, or that you can leave it.
Okay, can I say one thing, Joanne? I just see from my notes here, you were just advised that all this work needs doing. You only found the additional information out after you inquired.
Well, the additional information, no, the front discs and brake pads, for example, they had in brackets 5,000 to 7,000 kilometres remaining. Yes, that was there. The rest was can be ordered and... The timing belt, I did advise them that I had the timing belt changed with themselves within the last couple of years. I asked about the clutch kit. Could they give me a breakdown of what the costs were involved in that? And they advised me the clutch kit was €800 plus that. Mm-hmm. And then labour, I had to ask how much the labour costs were. And I was advised that the labour costs were €450 for 5 hours. Mm. Where when I got the other quote from a garage for the 821, I was advised that the labour cost or the hours work for that was 3 hours. So there's a 2 hour differential as well there in relation to how long it would take to fit the clutch. And these are the things that I think I would love garages to be transparent about.
Yeah. If you would have just texted back, yes, crack on, you'd been facing a bill of over 3,000 euro, in and around 3,000 euro. I mean, this is big, big money. I doubt there's very many people listening have like that lying about.
Massive money from walking into a garage with 179 euro, and I wasn't sure what the clutch would be, but if I had clicked approve, the cost would have been over 3,000 euro. It's huge.
So you want more details, but see, then you could say, in fairness, that maybe you got all the details in conversation with them, like they did give you the breakdowns, Joanne. And
well, my point to that would be that whatever a challenge is, you need to tell me why I need front discs and pads.
Understood, I get you, yeah.
Or why are you suggesting that I need a timing belt? Where is that suggestion coming from when the timing belt's already been fitted?
Yeah, understood.
You know, I don't understand, yeah.
And if you didn't have the querying mind that you have, you could have just texted yes and then you'd have had €3,000 bill. How much of that did you really need to spend?
And that's really what, how much do we all want to drive a car that's safe. And that's why when a garage suggests something, you're wondering, if I don't get this, is my car going to be unsafe? Do I really need this?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's,
so just a bit more
important,
a bit more transparency is what you're looking for, really. And okay.
Just wondering what other people's experiences are in relation to quotes for car repairs.
Joanne. You've thrown it out there now. We'll see what others think. And we appreciate your time and safe motoring going forward. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
All right,
thank
take
you.
Care. Take Goodbye. Care. Any views on that? 086 60 25,000. We are going to be joined by our second guest on the show very, very shortly. So please stay with us for that. In fact, I believe we actually can now say good morning to Niamh Lambert, Regional Coordinator with the Victim Support at Court VSAC. Are you there, Niamh? Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's our pleasure. It's good to have you on. Tell us a little bit about the VSAC group.
Yep. So we are the only charity in the country that specialises in court accompaniment for victims and prosecution witnesses of all types of crime. So that's regardless of the crime, the gender, the religion, anything like that for the victims that are coming in. We look after people who are giving their evidence in court or children or vulnerable witnesses who are given their evidence through video link. So
what is now we've got, the reason we're talking is this is available in much of the country, but not in Donegal, and you're looking to extend into Donegal. So we'll get to that in a moment. But what this accompaniment, what service is it actually providing other than accompaniment, if you know what I mean?
Yep. So we have, as I said, we are a charity. We have four staff members. We've got three coordinators. I'm the coordinator for the East and South East. We have Emily, who will be the coordinator. She's the coordinator for the Western, Northern, Midland courts. And then we have Sarah, who's the coordinator for the Criminal Courts of Justice in Parkgate Street in Dublin. And then we have Dipna, she's our general manager. And then out of that, we've got about 70 volunteers, and they're the people who provide the court accompaniment. So the court accompaniment is basically just practical and emotional support for victims when they're going to court. So court is an extremely scary place to go into. When you go into it, there's lots of people. They're all moving around the place and they all seem to know what they're doing and where to go. So what we do is that we would try to meet them prior to their case being listed. So we offer a pre-trial visit where we meet them at the courthouse, maybe like a week or two before their case is due to start. We'll show them an empty courtroom. We'll show them the victim support room. So up in Letterkenny, there's a lovely victim support room up there and a lovely video link room as well. We show them around. We show them this is where you're going to meet your volunteer on the day. So when they're going in, they actually have an idea of where they need to go and who they're going to meet, because the majority of the time, what we know from the courts is from American TV, which is really, really dramatized. There's nobody bursting in at the last minute with the last bit of evidence. Mm. Nothing works like that, but that's the idea that we all have. So we kind of just kind of take a little bit of that fear out. We're kind of empowering people when they're coming into court. They're taking a little bit of that power back for themselves. They know exactly where they need to go and where they're meeting people. So that'll be our first step that's offered to them.
Yeah, and I can imagine too, you know, for most people as a victim, you'd imagine it's the first time going into court in that environment. Where's the judge? Is the media there? Who's going to report on this? Can I be seen? Will the public, are they behind me? Are they beside me? Where do I go? Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's already going to be an incredibly stressful situation. So the uncertainties and the unknowns as much as possible, I presume you try and ease what's already a very difficult experience by, you know, emotionally holding their hand through that part of it.
Yeah. So we don't, when I book in a case or any of the coordinators, when we book in cases, we don't take any of the details of the case because none of that's any of our business. It's a fully confidential service. So the details we would take is the name of the accused, the name of the injured party or the witness that's coming in, and the type of crime it is. So that's it. So we don't know any other details. And then what we do is we can answer all those type of questions that they have, because there's a lot of things that are going on in their mind and they're like, who's going to be there? Where do I sit? One of the most questions that we get is, what do I wear going into court? Because it's so foreign to a lot of people going into one of these buildings. And as I said, like, they have an idea in their head of what it's like, and that's totally different to what it actually is in reality. So we like to kind of help them through that. So like our volunteers then we won't go through any like their statements or anything with them. But what we will do is we'll bring them into the courtroom. We'll show them how to approach the witness box, where to sit, how to answer the judge. We'll show them like where everyone's sitting, like where the jury's sitting, where the barristers are sitting. So it's kind of just planning out the courtroom with them. And then on the day of their actual trial, we could say to them, we can go in first and we can take our seats first if you want, or we can let the accused side go in and let them pick their sides and we can sit down afterwards. So it's just really helping them, providing that emotional support. And like when their cases start, they don't really realise that they're investigating Gard, who they probably developed a bond with over the amount of time it's taken to get to court. And the barristers, the state barristers and solicitors, they can't really talk to them once they finish giving their evidence. So we can act as like an intermediary between them. We can say, look, this is what's going on, this is how they're feeling. Or we can just explain a bit of the legal terms, because we're so used to hearing it. And we're like, every case is totally different, but all the procedures are the exact same. Yeah. So we're able to explain.
Mm. And often it's archaic language that's being used, rooted in yeah. you know, laws from hundreds of years ago, effectively. And in terms of like, do you sit beside the person, or is that an option? Because obviously, dependent on the crime, you know, having to relive it, listening to the evidence and all that can be really, I imagine, really quite distressing, either at the time or afterwards. Can you, Niamh, support if the person wants through that part of it too?
So when they have to give their own evidence, they're up on the stand or they're in a video link room, and that's their own time to be by themselves there. But when they're sitting in the court and they're listening to the rest of the evidence, we can sit with them. We will do what they need. So sometimes they'll say, I need you to sit right beside me and don't move. Or sometimes they'll go, my mom is in the victim support room and I'm really worried about my mom. And they can't concentrate on their evidence, thinking about their mom on their own. So we will sit with their mom if that's going to keep their mind at ease. Or they might say, I don't want anybody in the court while I'm giving my own evidence, but will you wait outside for me? So when they're done, they know that there's somebody outside waiting for them to bring them outside for some fresh air or bring them up to the victim support room. So we kind of work with what the injured party needs.
And obviously you have good cooperation with the court service, given what you've outlined so far.
The court services all the courts that we've gone into have been fantastic. All the management, the staff there have been brilliant, because I think once you work within that area, you see how vulnerable people are. Like even for, like I heard you talking about burglary there in the news, that like even for cases like that, people are so nervous going into court. So they can see that there is a need for somebody there just to kind of come in and guide them through the court system. So every single court that we've been into, like especially with this expansion into the Northern and the Western courts, all the court services have been brilliant with working with us and allowing us to use their facilities.
Now, are you looking for people to work with VSAC in Donegal, or are you going to extend your current team into the region?
So we have a coordinator there. We have Emily Healy. She's our coordinator for the Western, the Northern and the Midland courts. So she's got a big task in front of her. It's just to let people know that there is a service there for victims if they are going into court, or even if they've got questions about their own procedures, they don't want court company, they can always give us a ring and we can answer them. We are looking for volunteers. So at the moment, we are looking for volunteers in Letterkenny Court, and we're actively going into that courthouse. But any of the other smaller district courts, we're taking in cases by referral.
Case by case. So in terms of then... The you know, in terms of volunteers, there's a lot of information that is known. It has to be the right information. So what kind of a background, generally speaking, does someone have, or would someone need to have? You know, how competent would they need to be in terms of, like, the former solicitor or something, or a student of the law? Or, like, who is your typical volunteer?
We've got a great mix of volunteers. So we've got people who are retired, or people who have been through the court service and they have no support, or they've been through the service and they've used our service and they wanted to come back to volunteer. So we've got a great mix of people. You don't need to have any sort of legal background or anything like that, because everything is taught you, because we're not giving legal advice. It's the practical and the emotional advice that we are giving. So to become a volunteer, there's a lot in us to become one of our volunteers, because we want to make sure that we have the right people for the role. And also, when the volunteers are in court, you're listening to a lot of tough stuff, because last year we supported 1,997 people. And out of that, 870 of those people were rape and murder cases. And then we had 425 murder, manslaughter. And then 175 was domestic violence in the district court, and assault was 238. So there's
stuff,
a lot. So you're listening
matter,
to
yeah.
a lot of information. So we want to make sure that people aren't taking that home with them. So to become a volunteer, they send an application, and you can do that through our website, vsac.ie, vsac.ie. And you can send in an application there. All those applications are then shortlisted. And then we do interviews. So for the rest of, after this interview, I'm doing interviews with loads of other volunteers after this one. And then that's shortlisted again. And then we do in-person training, and that's shortlisted. And then we do shadowing. So they shadow between 6 to 8 weeks, case depending, with one of the coordinators or with one of our experienced volunteers. So they're not just going to be thrown into a case.
Now, this sounds
away.
Like they, it could be really quite time, it could be really quite time consuming. And also, too, you know, you don't want to be there for someone on day one of the case. It's deferred for 3 days and then not be available on day two. So it requires, I imagine, quite a bit of flexibility in time. This is unpaid work, is it? And what really is the level of commitment that is required to provide these services for a volunteer?
So we look for our volunteers to give a minimum of 2 days a week. Because outside of Dublin, for some reason, all the circuit courts only said Tuesday to Friday. So it's 4 days that it's sitting for. So we look for a minimum of 2 days a week. And then we kind of try to share out the case then with other volunteers. Some of our volunteers, like when they start a case, they like to finish it. And some of them can only do certain days.
Okay.
So we will let the injured party and the guard know. Like that, look, we have two people on.
Mix and match a little bit if required. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, totally. But we don't like to be introducing brand new people onto the case. But also with the time commitment, the circuit courts only come around every couple of weeks per term. So we've got four court terms. So it kind of works a bit like the same with school schedules. So it's not, well, it sounds like it's a huge amount of time that we're looking for. In reality, it's only for a couple of weeks per term that we're looking for.
I get you. And is this service now available? I'm thinking now those who may be due in court. Is this service now available in Donegal? So it's not subject to a volunteer recruitment, so to speak. So how do people get signposted to you ordinarily, or how can people make contact? Because for some, you know yourself, it's so stressful. Are they even thinking of, I wonder, are there victim support services and are they charitable? You know what I mean? So how do people normally, all those over 1,000 last year, how did they get in contact with you, or how does that work?
So I think nearly 90% of our referrals came from the guards, but also when the circuit court is coming around, we have a proactive approach where we go in on the Tuesday, we'll have a chat with the court sergeant and we'll have a chat with the state solicitor and see what cases are coming in for the week, because the guards have so much on their plate that sometimes they forget to book in with victim support. Mm. So we're just there just to kind of catch the ones that haven't been booked in. But the people who are victims of crime or the prosecution witnesses, they can contact us directly as well. And I can give you Emily's details if you want.
Yeah, for sure.
Her phone number is 085-866-2110. So that's 085-866-2110. Mm-hmm. Or she can be contacted at emily@vsac.ie. So that's VSAC for victims support at court. So emily@vsac.ie.
Right, okay. Is this support for victims or defenders? It's for victims. We said that right from the get-go. Right, okay. Niamh is looking for volunteers in Donegal. Are VSAC coordinators in paid employment? Can I ask your guest, Greg? I presume there are going to be people within VSAC who are employed.
We've got four people who are employed. So there's three coordinators and one manager and all our volunteers. But all our volunteers also get their out-of-pocket expenses. So if it's mileage, public transport, or we pay for their lunches as well. So it's all done through the civil service rate. So it's all out-of-pocket expenses they pay for.
Okay, listen, thank you very much for your time. So that is live now in Donegal, is it? Yeah?
Yeah, we have volunteers in Donegal at the moment.
Perfect. All right, just so people know. All right, thank you so very much for your time. Have a lovely day. Niamh Lambert there, Regional Coordinator of VSAC. That's the Victim Support at Court. We can say good morning now to Shane Crudden, Officer in Charge at Killybeg Coast Guard. Good morning to you, Shane. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Now, Killybeg's Coast Guard are currently recruiting. Talk to us briefly a little bit about the work the Killybeg's Coast Guard does.
Well, like all Coast Guard units in the country, Greg, there's 44 units in the country, and we happen to be one of the four Donegal units. And in regards to Killybeg's Coast Guard, we're a three-discipline team, so we're a surge team. We're a cliff rescue team, and we're also a boat rescue as well, or boat unit as well. And at present, we have about 24 members there at the minute. To run the three disciplines, the search, the boat, and the cliff, you need as many hands as possible. Mm. And that's why every year, well, not necessarily every year we recruit, but this year now we're looking to take people on for the 2024. And start them in January. So, and as I say, it's the plan is that we put the Facebook post out, and you show interest by Tuesday the 31st of October, and the email address is on the social media post there. It's Killybeg's Coast Guard at hotmail.com.
And you ask a simple question. You say, do you want to learn new skills and qualities while helping people on both land and sea? It's as simple as that, which is not simple, but it's a simple question.
Yeah, no, it's a simple question, yeah, because you get world-class training, world-class courses. Our uniform, our PPE is just top class. Like we're underneath the Department of Transport. The Irish Coast Guard as an organisation is underneath the department. So we are, a government department, and we're government funded as well. Like, and we're supplied with, as I say, great equipment, great uniforms, PPE, so on and so forth. And learning new skills, like first aid is a basic course that you have to do. VHF, the Marine Radio course, it's a license that you get after completing the course. Basic search skills, you know, searching, long before I joined the Coast Guard 13 years ago, I thought searching was just maybe walking around a field or walking around the shoreline, but there's a skill to it, and it's a brilliant course to do. And manual handling then. So that would be your four core courses done in your probation year. Mm-hmm. Now, before you join, you fill out the application form, and it's all pending Garda vetting as well, Greg. You know, that's just part and parcel of what we do in that. But no, we're looking for people. You know, we have a great team there at the minute. So strong. They're a second family to me. We get on the best. But I say we're looking to hopefully take on a few
grow
more.
Grow that family, yeah. What are the criteria like in terms of age, fitness, or
minimum age of 18 to join, and a reasonable level of fitness. It's quite simple like that. Because like at the end of the day, I can only speak for Killeen Bay's Coast Guard. We do go up Sleeve League. We've been very busy with Sleeve League this year. And Sleeve League's quite a strenuous walk and hike up to the top.
With
and
the
generally
gear.
That's what they call off the gear is exactly. We can get the gear by vehicles some of the way, but no, there is an element of walking. And you know, only recently we had a call out there with the stretcher casually out of the boulder field, which is near the top, and that took a couple hours to do that there and that. So yeah, a reasonable level of fitness and a minimum age of 18 to join. But other than that, that's pretty much... and live local as well. Like, at the end of the day, we're an emergency service. We're the fourth blue light emergency service for the country. And first responders. So you need to live... And I'm not going to say a certain distance or time to the station. That will all be discussed when the individuals show an interest by emailing in. And when you email in, you will get an email back from myself saying that we'll invite you to an open evening. And we'll go through all the disciplines, the boat, the cliff and the search. And
yeah. So really, even today, you're looking at maybe, Shane, you know, not looking for an outright commitment now, but people who have listened and go, right, you know what, maybe that's something, you know, maybe that's what I could do for my community and maybe I can be part of that setup. You know, so express an interest now and then go along to one of the open days or one of the open evenings. It's killybegscoastguard@hotmail.com is the email. Go ahead, Shane.
No, that's what I was gonna, you're 100% right. Yeah, show the interest. And like, I'd be quite frank with people when they come into the open evening, I tell them exactly what's expected of a person showing interest. Mm. And some people in the last couple of years during the open evening kind of said, thanks very much, but you know what?
Yeah.
That's too high of a level of commitment.
That's about,
and that's brilliant. And it's brilliant to get that answer on the open evening rather than going in a year into it and then realising, do you know what, this isn't for me. So no, I'd be quite frank and straight up with people in the open evening. It does suit some people. It will not suit others. Like, but as I say, that's where we get the information to them on the open evening and then go through the motions with them.
All right, brilliant stuff. Okay, Shane. If you're interested in first contact, killybegscoastguard@hotmail.com. That simply expresses an interest, but you want to do so before Tuesday the 31st of October. Shane McCrudden, thank you very much for joining us. And I hope you have a great response to that because we're huge supporters of the Fourth Emergency Service, as you've outlined there. It's fantastic the work that you and the rest of the crews do right across our coast and our cliffs and our mountains as well. Shane, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Take care of yourself.
No,
and if you need any further support, please get in touch. Derek, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Greg.
Hi, Derek. How are you getting on? Right. You witnessed something really quite unpleasant last night. What did you see?
So I was driving up past the Burt graveyard there, and I just witnessed a bus pulled in and a string of young fellas out, and they were urinating along the wall, you know. I find it unpleasant to watch, as you say.
Now, you've been chatting to others. You know, we could say, oh, right, they got caught out, it was an emergency, but others suggest that this is not a once-off.
Aye, so I was talking to a few people, and they reckon it's a regular occurrence, you know.
I think really then the appeal here goes out to maybe bus drivers to give some consideration of that, because it's they that pull over, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's it. I suppose it's one thing that, you know, people getting off a bus to do that, but the driver there, he made a conscious decision to pull in at that point. You know, they let a bus load off, you know.
Yeah, okay. And you're saying it's disrespectful. Pack it in.
Well, I think it's disrespectful, you know, for one, because it's a graveyard, but two, you know, people visit in the graveyard as well.
Yeah.
As they walk over that, you know.
All right, okay. And we're talking about Inch Graveyard, isn't that right? Sorry, it's the graveyard at Burt, I beg your pardon.
At Burt, yeah, along the main road there.
Right, you. Mm-hmm. All right, simple as that. It's just an appeal to whoever might be calling in there.
I just thought it was worth mentioning,
100%,
Greg, you know.
Well, that's why we invited you on, and I do appreciate your time, and sorry for holding you there. Thank you very much indeed, Derek. 086 60 25,000. Okay, some texts here. I would like to say that VSAC were a huge support to the McMonagle family when we needed them. And we know exactly everything that you've had to endure. So it's good to hear that there was some comfort with the support you received from VSAC. A caller says, this is a great service and needs to be part of the family justice system as well, especially when false allegations are weaponized and used to stop a mother or father from having access to or seeing their children. This is the main weapon of choice used against an alienated mother or father, and there are usually no repercussions or consequences for the alienating parent or person making the false allegations. Counselling services should be on hand too. In the end, the children lose out. Well, they're not case specific. It's anyone who's a defendant in court. I beg your pardon. Anyone who is a victim in court, regardless of the nature of the crime. I live on the Leck Road. It's crazy with traffic this morning. And once again, we are blocked in with traffic tailbacks because our roads are being realigned. There's a red line through our house and we are stuck in limbo and cannot sell. Every time we are asked, we are told it's happening soon. This has been going on for 6 years. All right, okay. I'm sorry for what you're going through. It's a nightmare, I'm sure. I went in through the Polestar twice yesterday and got through with one change of lights. People should be using it this week so that they get calibrated properly. Good call, Josephine. It is important that the regular traffic is on it. Yes, Greg? We too have had a lot of issues over the years with garages. You're given one price and then it more than doubles. It's like an unknown figure at the end, if you understand me. And you're not really going under your own car to see if the work was done or indeed needed done, as most of us haven't a clue what's under a bonnet. But there's no reason, I don't think, particularly with any of the garages, and I've dealt with quite a few of them, to believe that they're sort of saying something's done and not been done. Like a lot of stuff, important stuff like, you know, brakes, shocks, all that kind of stuff would be picked up on an NCT if the work wasn't done. Does that happen very often? I don't think so. But people are obviously going to be nervous and cautious when spending a lot of money. But Greg, there's no grey area either. You need a timing belt or you don't. Otherwise, it will break, etc. Indeed. But what the situation with our caller was is she was well within the time frame that you can expect a timing belt not to break because it had been done 2 years previously. I took my car to a local garage to fix all the issues needed that were advised by the NCT Centre, got it fixed, paid over €599, and took it back for the NCT to be inspected again. They advised me it wasn't fixed. I took it into the garage, I took in the garage invoice, and what was fixed, it wasn't done at all. Had to ring them back. I barely got an apology and had to take the day off work again to leave the car back up and get it sorted again. Okay, that kind of talks to what I was saying there about the NCT picking stuff up. This garage should be named. I'm a mechanic myself. What makes an year is the car sounds very expensive to me. Right, okay. We have a very busy couple of hours. Please stay right where you are. We're going to take a break for the news and obituary notices and then we'll be right back.